Good evening. For those that don't know me or don't recognize me, I'm Eric Doolittle. Have been here before. Most of you probably do know me. As always, I do desire y'all's prayers. I always feel nervous getting up. I have to say, since this is the place I first started getting up in front of, I don't feel quite as nervous here. It's a little more comfortable. But my fear is that I would deliver what the Lord has, that I would be able to speak clearly and call out what he's trying to get out. One of the thoughts I have today, this is Thanksgiving, but when I was studying, the Lord didn't give me a Thanksgiving message. So if I had to put a title on it, I would call it Foundations. And if we think about foundations, you know, we see buildings all over the place. You see buildings up on cliffs, hilltops. When Diane and I lived in Europe, you'd see them on mountains. You'd see them in valleys, in the plains. I've been driving across deserts. You see them in deserts. You see big houses. Even nowadays, you see little tiny houses. Fancy houses, plain houses, tall buildings full of apartments, log cabins. All kinds of buildings. And the buildings in our lives, you know, we don't think about it a lot, but have you ever thought about how much your home kind of reflects your life? People say you can tell a lot about a person if you can go visit their home and see how they decorate it, what they do. So I'd like to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting off in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, if we look at this, the one thing that struck me with this passage is this passage, the focus is not on the foundation. The focus is on the building. And it's calling out, you know, look at what's being built. Here's this foundation. The foundation, there's one. It's Christ. But people are building on this foundation. Some people, they go the fancy route. Gold, silver, precious stones. Other people go the more plain and simple route. Some almost too simple, it might be, in my opinion. You know, hay, wood, stubble. That's a little different. But people build on it. And at some point, that building's going to get tried. And then you'll know how well you're building stands. Did you have one that when the fire came, it withstood the fire? I think of metal. We don't often consider iron as something that can burn. We really don't think about that. But do you know if you get iron hot enough, it will actually burn?
Yes.
It will burn. And we don't know what kind of fire the Lord's going to necessarily allow to come into our lives. And don't you want to make sure you put a pretty good building together? But as I've already said, my title really isn't about the building, but I wanted to lay that out there that we are building on a foundation, and what we build matters. So now I want to go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, familiar passage. If I can get into Luke. Starting in verse 46. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now this one here says there were two houses built. One, the person building that house, it says, dug deep. This wasn't a matter of I just walked around and I found, oh, a perfect rock to build a house on. Nice, exposed, nothing in the way. I can just build a great house here. No, this man said, you know what? This is where I want to build a house, but I want to get down to the rock. Said he dig deep. Didn't dig a little ways. He had to dig deep. He wanted to make sure his house, what he was going to build on that rock, was connected to the rock. He didn't want anything in between. No questions there for him. You know, I'm a person a lot of times around the house, I like to do my own work. And part of it is because I know the quality of work I try to do. I'm not going to say it always comes out the quality I want, but I know what I try to do. And I know sometimes when I've hired people, they don't have the same desire to turn out the same quality. Now this man, he wanted his house to stand. And he said, I'm going to dig to the rock. And he put effort into it, built down to the rock. And I don't know how many of y'all have had experience digging footings for foundations, but when you're digging, you have to remove all the loose soil. It has to be clean. You have to be sitting solid on the rock. And I could just see this man, I don't want any impediments to the connection of my foundation to this rock. And how did it turn out for him? Storms came. That trial we were reading about in the other passage, although it was mentioned by fire there, here it's a stream, came, beat against his house. It didn't say he dodged the trial. But his house stood firm. Why? Connected to that rock. Built into that rock. But then we have the other house. Here it says built upon soil. Now Matthew 7, that parable said there, it does say built upon the sand. And here it implies that this man really didn't do much for a foundation. He probably looked at think about soil. Have any of y'all ever walked out on your yard and before you stepped off the porch said, well, I wonder if the soil's going to hold me up. You tend to, it's dirt. It'll hold me up. Well, this man, no doubt, looked at where things is at. Looks good. Sufficient. And as a Christian, I guess that's where my burden's at. We're building a house. What are you building your house on? We're putting a foundation down. But do you really think about what goes under the foundation? You can put a great foundation on sand. And when the water comes rushing in, guess what happens to the sand? Sand will leave right with it. And your foundation will either shift or crack. And when I think of this, you know, Christ mentioned here two men built houses. We don't have any record of the houses he was thinking of in the parable, but in my mind, for the conversation, part of what I want to talk about this evening, I can see those two houses being identical. Both properly engineered. Somebody went in and carefully said, we're building these houses. We want to have the wind loads right. We want to have the if it's in a snow area, we want to have the snow loads right. If it's in an earthquake zone, we want to put in the shear walls and everything. We want this house engineered right. Make sure you got the electrical, no fire hazards. And all that's fine and dandy. But if you put that house on something that's not going to hold the foundation up, what good is it? Because if you think about a house, it's generally designed to be perpendicular. Almost every carpenter I know of has a level. It's used for making things flat and for straight up and down. Most houses are not designed to be built crooked. If you get a crooked house, you probably have, down the road, you'll have questions on, is it going to stay standing up or is it going to keep leaning over? So as we build on the foundations, we need to really start looking at, you know, that before you really kind of get into building your house, where am I putting my foundation? What am I going to really build on? Sand. You know, sand is basically just a bunch of little rocks. Pretty much, from what I remember in school, and I've been far enough out of school, I don't necessarily remember all that much of it. But, you know, we were kind of taught that sand is just a bunch of eroded little rocks washed down to the sea. And so couldn't you maybe argue that both houses were technically built upon rock? They're both built upon rock. So what's the difference? Well, sand, the rocks get smaller and smaller and smaller, and if you ever get on wet sand, it seems to pack pretty good. But let that sand dry out, go walk across that same sand, and suddenly you're sinking into it. And it moves. And then, you know, it also mentioned here, this in Luke, it talked about soil. Soil is another interesting thing. When we think of soil, you may not consider, what is soil made of? It's usually made up of solid minerals of some kind, organic matter, and those generally form a lattice into which gas and water can permeate. And so soil really is not solid. We look at it, but it's not solid either. And I think about rocks. I did some work for an engineering firm as a young man. And a lot of times what we did was, it's referred to as geotechnical drilling. We would go out to a field or a place where somebody was wanting to build a house or a building. And we would go and they would have a drawing, you know, starting from the property line, you go over this far and you drill a hole. And as we drilled down, every 6 inches, we would stop and take a sample. And we would record exactly what we hit. And if we hit rock, we were paid to go, oftentimes it's between 25 to 50 feet in the ground, depending upon the building. And if you hit a rock, we'd pull out what they called a core tube, and you'd keep drilling into the rock, and you'd be taking usually 2 foot sections of rock. And we'd pull those out, and we'd lay them down, and write down exactly how many inches of what kind of rock for how deep. And we would map that out underneath where they were going to put that building so that the engineers would know what kind of foundation to build. Because, you could think you could just go out and build a foundation. I'll design a great foundation. Well, your foundation has to know what it's dealing with. It has to know what's underneath it. And rock is difficult to work with. When we would be working with rock, you know, I'd see engineers come out there, and sometimes they'd come out on site as we were drilling the holes because they'd be wanting to look at the samples live. And you might have one point where you got the rock is within 5 foot of the surface ground here, and it's 30 feet down over here. And the engineers would get grumpy because they're working with a budget, and that's the concrete pile to go down 5 feet's not near as expensive as the concrete pile to go down 30 feet. And, you know, you can't exactly just reach down and pull that rock up. You can't cut the top off the 5 foot piece and put it in the deep hole and make it work. It doesn't work like that. You kind of have to deal with the rock as it is. Because if you start changing it, you're breaking it, you're putting fractures in it, it's no longer the rock. Now sand's pretty easy to work with. Dump it on the ground, spread it out, smooth it around, it'll level out quick. But not a whole lot of support. You can pack it. You can get packing machines out there and you can pack sand, but if that sand's dry, it's not packing. I've worked with that same engineering company working on putting in turnpikes there around Tulsa, and some of my jobs there, when we weren't testing concrete pours, it was out measuring the density of the soil to make sure it was going to hold the weight of the traffic going over it. And if it had too much sand in that soil and it was dry, I've watched them put some pretty big equipment just running over that soil for hours trying to pack it down. They'd call me over to run my test and put the equipment down there. Nope. One fellow, after about 3 days, asked me, what do I need to do? I said, you either need to change the dirt or you need to add some water, one of the two. It's the only way it's going to pack. But soil is an interesting thing. We don't think of soil a lot when we think of these stories, because usually when you hear the story, we talk about sand and rock. But now soil, depending upon what it's made of, sometimes it'll pack almost like rock. You can compact it down. We had a machine called a sheep's foot. You could start running that sheep's foot over it. And after a while, that sheep's foot looks like little knobs sticking out of a big metal wheel. And they'd just be riding on top of that dirt. They couldn't even go in anymore. But if you have a different kind of soil, it'll never pack. It's all clay and squishy, and you can run around on it. Sometimes they would have to go out, find dirt of the right kind to bring in and mix in to get it to pack down. You know, all of this to get the place they were going to build ready for the foundation of what they were going to put on top of it. So now I'd like to move in Luke over to chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. And this is Jesus. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, I want to look at this from the view I'm going to talk about. You know, we talked about earlier about men's lives as houses. Now, I want to talk about what type of houses these two men thought they had built. The Pharisee, if you ask me, felt like he'd built a really nice house. You know, tithe, check, I do that. I probably tithe the things y'all don't think about checking. My 10% from everything. Check. That's in my house. It's good. Fasting. Oh, yeah. Regular fast days, do those. I do two extra beyond that. I got that fasting covered. Check. You know, I don't scam people out of stuff. I live a good, clean life. Check. You know what that Pharisee was doing? He had built a house on the sands of doctrine. Little individual particles of doctrine. He had got his sands of doctrine and he had smoothed them out smooth. I can build a nice Christian house on this. Look how flat that is. Good flat foundation. I can make things fit really good. This will be a nice looking house. And then he goes to church and, Lord, look at my nice house. How many times did he say, thank you, Lord, in his speech? He did say it once. I thank thee, Lord, that I did this, I did that. My own might, my own power, my own capabilities. Built himself a nice house. But that publican now, what kind of house did he think he had built? Publican's like, Lord, I'm here. But I've looked around at the way you want houses built, and I'm looking at the one I built. And Lord, it needs help. Can you help me? I don't know what to do, Lord. It's just not working out the way I wanted it to. I wanted it to be pleasing to you. Oh, Lord, help me. Which house did the Savior say he preferred? The one who was concerned was, how are you looking at my house, Lord? Is this house acceptable to you? I may be pleased with my house, but Lord, how does it line up with what you want? You know, in the Old Testament, I find it interesting. You go all the way back to the Old Testament when they first started building altars there, and the Lord had a rule about how they built altars. Whole stones. He said, I know it would be easier for you all if you could take those rocks, knock them into squares, and stack them together. But I don't want you doing that. Those are the rocks I made. Those rocks are made the way I wanted them. And aren't they his rocks after all? Doesn't he have the right to say that, don't mess with my rocks? You want to stack them into an altar for me, you can do that. I'm fine with that. I feel that's acceptable use of my rock. Don't get fancy with it. Don't think you can out-design a rock. I made them the way I made them. He wants us to look at his word the same way. It's a rock. It's a foundation. But folks, our world today will pick up a hammer and chisel and say, this part right here, it's just in the way. Pow, knock it off. That's better. It's not in the way anymore. I can build my Christian life right out here, and it's fine now. No issues, no problems. You know, even in the temple where Solomon was building the building, it says that they carefully made sure that there was not a sound of a stone being struck by a tool anywhere in that complex. They did all of that work somewhere else. And I don't know about you all, but I'm not an engineer by trade, but I've worked with them. And it don't take much sometimes to get off with your math. And just a little bit of off in your math can ruin a plan. And working with stone and trying to cut it to fit something, I don't know, a mile away? How far does sound travel? If you're wanting to be safe, I'm not going to have it close. Did you have them running back and forth to measure it a lot? We don't know. But what we do know is they understand that the Lord said, I really don't want you changing what I've done. I want this to come out the right way. Jesus, you know, he's the rock. And I'm going to say one of the largest rocks we have is his love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the bedrock of the plan for why this planet even was formed. God said, I'm going to create this. I want to show people love. But we got to have a plan. Why? Well, we're going to give them choice. And if we give them choice, they're liable to knock some edges off the rocks. How do we get them back? How do? Well, okay, love. We can love them. Son, you up for it? Yes, Father. And so from the beginning, that was the plan. From before the world was formed. And Jesus also said, this is in Matthew 22, you know, when asked, what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The reason why I mention this, you know, I mentioned a few times, I don't know if y'all picked up on it, but I worked testing and inspecting concrete. You can take things that individually will not be strong, but you mix them together in the right quantities, mix it in with cement, some sand, gravel of different sizes. Sometimes I'll put fly ash and other things in. You can make what's almost a rock out of it. You know, that's what the love of God will help us do with our lives. if you found that you've been maybe chipping a few edges off the doctrines, if you will, maybe reading it, nah, that's tough, Lord. I just don't see that. We got that off. The Lord loves us. The Lord's willing to say, you know what? I've got a glue that can put that back on. But you will have to modify your spiritual house. Because it's got to go back where it belongs. That glue won't put it on over here. It won't put it on under here. You're going to have to take what you built on this spot, tear it off, glue it back, and then you can build the right way. When we think about our spiritual lives and we think about the foundations, it is so vital, folks, that we keep our eye out. Not just how is our spiritual life going. I pray you all look at your spiritual life and think, yes, Lord, I'm pleased with the way it's going. But we also need to say, Lord, help me see what's underneath it. Because you're going to get hit by a trial. You're going to get hit by life. And I'm going to say sometimes not even the devil. Sometimes just time and chance happeneth to them all. Sometimes it's just a bad day. Do you want your life collapsing? It says, for the one that wasn't built on the rock, great was the fall of it. And the scary thing for me is when that fall happens, how many times have you ever seen somebody see something bad happen and they make the comment, ooh, I don't want to ever have to deal with anything like that. And so they don't. And so instead of trying to build a spiritual life, somebody says, ooh, I've watched two or three people, they built, and those houses just fall over so easy. So easy. I've seen people lose out, and it's just, I don't know. Folks, we need to build first to the rock. Then you can build your foundation, because it says he dug deep to the rock first. He wasn't even starting to put anything together. First thing he said, I need to get to the rock. I need to get to where I can see the rock clearly. I need to understand where it's at. Then I can start my foundation. And then after that foundation is built, I can really start putting it together. You know, I've been in some folks' houses, and you walk in the house, you're like, this is a nice house. You can tell sometimes the quality is there. I'm going to kind of tell on Diane. We went to look at a house when we were just had moved to Louisiana. And it was an inexpensive house in our price range. So most of those we were looking at were fixer-uppers. And we went and looked at this one house that this person had built. And Diane's assessment of it when we were driving away was, well, if we buy that one, I'm going to put a grenade in it, blow it up, shove everything in a hole, and start over. That was the assessment of the house. She looked at that house, and there wasn't quality. It wasn't built proper. It wasn't built to code. In some spots, it didn't look like there was a foundation. The floors were uneven and level. It wasn't like you could go in and you know, sometimes my mother used to talk about a house having good bones. You know, it'd be an older home, maybe neglected, but the foundation was solid, the walls were straight. You knew you could go in, and with some work, you could turn this back into a nice house. The foundation was good. It was solid. When you see somebody's house that's built right, it's a joy to look at. I remember my father, of course, being into woodworking. Anytime we'd go tour an old house, the people would be talking about the families and what the family did. My dad would be over in the corner inspecting the molding, the millwork, looking how straight the walls were. That was what he got out of looking at those houses. He wanted to see how was it built. How did they put that together? And sometimes he'd interrupt the guy asking, hey, do you know if when they were building the beams in, did they use this kind of joinery? Why? Because, this is a solidly built house. It was an encouragement to him. Because we tended to buy old houses and fix them up. And he's like, you know, I can do that. And if I do that type of craftsmanship, it'll last. It'll last. When I was over in Germany, I had the privilege of visiting a town of Erfurt. And in that town, if I remember the age, there was a rock bridge. You actually didn't know it was a bridge when you first got to it. It had buildings kind of down both sides of it. And it looked like the bridge, just the road kind of went up and went down, an old cobblestone road. And when we were given a tour of the town, the guide stopped and kind of went through an alley, and we stepped out, and he showed us, we've been walking over a bridge. The bridge has been around since about 400 AD. Still carrying traffic. Still being used. I sit there and I look at our non-stone concrete bridges. They'll last for a while, but you know, 15, 20 years ago, I think it was, Denham Springs had chunks started falling out of one of their bridges. Why? It got old. Wasn't made out of that solid rock that bridge over in Germany was made from. And I can tell you, sitting there looking at that old bridge, the nerd in me looking at it is like, wow, I didn't see any mortar. Not any mortar. Everything was fit. The rocks put into the arches, and they may have carved on them. I couldn't really see where it looked like they'd carved much. It looked like somebody had sat down and picked a rock up and found a way to fit it in there, and then another one, and back and forth till they got the keystone in there. And then I was like, impressive. And you know, those same techniques would work today if we wanted to build bridges that way. But we don't. We get in a hurry. We say we've got better ways to build bridges now. We can do them faster. But what we don't often tell ourselves is, how long will it last? You know, you can go down here to the seashore and you'll see houses built down there on the seashore, technically on the sand. What do? Well, they drive big piles down. Because if you drive down far enough, you'll hit a point where it's not really solid ground, but it's ground where the resistance of driving down reaches a certain pressure. And they say, okay, once you hit that, you can then cut all the piles off even and build on those pilings, and it's enough to hold the building. The average expected lifetime of a pile foundation is between 30 and 130 years. So you may have put a lot of effort into building a foundation that in 30 years starts giving you fits. You might get lucky and live your life out, and it'll be your grandchildren that see it giving them fits. But somewhere down the road, it's going to give somebody fits. It's just not a solid foundation. Old lighthouses. I like lighthouses, but have you ever noticed when you see the lighthouses standing out there in the ocean, are they built on just a little bit of sand sticking out there? No. Those lighthouses have to be there through the storms. They have to be there. And for some reason, almost every lighthouse I recall seeing has been built on a rock of some kind. Interesting that even man can figure out building on the rock is the right way. You can build on sand, it'll last for a bit, but if you want something to go through the storm, don't even look at that sand. Put it on that rock. You know, I want to talk also a little bit. You know, we sometimes can look at people and we can see that person with the small house. And I'm speaking about our spiritual lives. And we can think, he ain't put much effort into his house. Because, you know, maybe we got a nicer looking house. But folks, what if that person has a smaller house because he spent years getting to bedrock? And he knows for a fact that when that storm comes, his little house shouldn't go anywhere. He's happy with it. Yeah, he might look over and say, that sure is a nice looking house. Good job, brother. But sometimes we need to be careful. If we look around at each other and want to start patting ourselves, we might want to say, okay, Lord, help me see. When we were digging down, did I really hit bedrock? You know, like I said, there's some soil that'll pack pretty hard. If you're not careful, when we did some of those sampling sites on some of the building sites, you can get down and think you're in the rock, only to find out, no, this is just a really, really dry, hard clay. It's not rock yet. We got to keep going. And in our lives, we want to make sure that we are getting down to the rock. I want to turn to Hebrews now, chapter 12, starting in verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Folks, the Lord really is concerned about your life. And he's not just concerned about, are you going to get a passing grade or a failing grade at judgment? He doesn't want anybody to get that failing grade at judgment. And what he wants is, he's like, folks, I've given you the ultimate engineering book for your life. For building a life that you'll be happy with, for building a life for when you're maybe not happy, you can weather that storm. When you go through times of periods of mourning and distress, you can weather that storm. It's all in his book. And it requires a foundational rock, which is Jesus. It is immovable. If we are not building upon that rock, which is immovable, there's going to come a time when that final storm, that consuming fire of the Lord, is going to try us. And I hope and pray that we all do not find ourselves, as has been mentioned in multiple stories in the Bible, standing there in the darkness, weeping, because our foundation was movable, and when the storms hit, we were pushed away. Instead, I would rather see all of us standing there, looking around, being able to rejoice with the folks in heaven. I was listening to the singing this evening, folks. Can you imagine, with the group here, it sounds pretty good. Can you imagine when you get to heaven and the ages start singing the praise to the Lord? Standing in that city whose foundation is from God, whose founder and maker is God. That's where we want to go, but we have to build on the right rock to get there. You all pray for me.